fan schmastic.
How was the big gala last night?
Oh my God.
A Child's Play dinner.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It was crazy.
It was so fun. It was so nice to be able to get dressed up.
Yeah, yeah. It was. It was shocking to see how big that event is, considering the small amount of people that are available to put it together. Although they do have a lot of volunteers.
The pics you guys tweeted looked amazing.
Well, so the really amazing thing is that they auctioned off the Omega Claw, which was the final round of their Omegathon this year. So at PAX every year, they have a contest of gaming champions where they pick randomly from the people who registered to compete in video games. And you know ahead of time what the games are, except for the last round. And every year the last round is this huge, big thing. And this year it was a claw machine, you know, like where you get animals out of the claw machine.
Oh, right? Yeah. There is a trick to those.
Is there really?
Well, what the trick is that the claw gains a little bit of tensile strength every time you put another quarter in. So if you're willing to put a bunch of quarters in near the end, it'll actually be strong enough to pick something up.
Are you kidding, or is that true?
Well, I don't know that that's true, but that's what I've found to be true.
That sounds like a Michiganism.
I'm pretty good at because we've done.
You just gotta keep putting the quarters in. That's the trick. No, the trick is not to give up with this futile machine.
We've stopped at a lot of turnpike rest stops, and the kids cannot make it past one of those things. And I've got a bunch of cheap, ridiculous, poorly made stuffed animals that I paid about $15 in quarters for. Because the claw, you can tell, gets a little stronger every time.
Can I tell you though, Brad, when you first started down that road, you said something like, there's a trick to those. And I thought you were going to go, and the trick is having the key to the back door of that machine.
The trick is to not play.
The trick is just to go to Toys R Us.
No. Please do not try to attempt to get these dolls, Professor Falcon.
So, but the Child's Play dinner is to celebrate both the people that gave a lot of money, but also the night itself raises money, right?
It's an auction there. It's a silent auction,
regular auction.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now is this where the night with Scott and Chris, or the date with Scott and Chris was? Yes. Was
yeah. And our date was awesome.
His name is Ben. He's a cool guy.
He is a really cool guy. I think we're gonna actually hang out with him.
Yeah, I know.
That's amazing.
Like it's not just like, all right, well, you paid money and we are obligated now to pretend that we're your friend tonight, even though you are very strange. He was like a really cool guy, and we exchanged.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we kind of lucked out.
Well, is it fair to ask how much it went for?
Well, the Omega Claw?
The date went for $1,080.
Wow.
The Omega Claw.
Are you ready for this? The Omega Claw went for
$15,000.
Really?
I think the people that bought it was PopCap, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. They make Plants vs. Zombies, right?
Yeah, they're based here in Seattle.
I just completed Plants vs. Zombies. I was the last person in America to jump in on that thing. And I got to tell you, I wasted more damn time with that game.
There's a zombie on my lawn.
Actually, I have not played it yet.
Really? Oh, my gosh. It is. I kind of got through the Angry Birds thing that you guys got me on. And then last time I saw Scott, he got me hooked on Cut the Rope. And I made it all the way through that. And I was just looking for something and stumbled upon Plants vs. Zombies. And I'm a little bit scared at myself at how quickly I get immersed into those things.
God, I just got hooked on Angry Birds. And that sucker has swallowed me whole. It's amazing.
Oh, God.
But you know what? It's actually gotten me thinking. And, oh, this is actually the topic that I want to talk about today. So this is a good transition about book apps and how they need to be different than books. Do you guys want to talk about that today?
Yes.
Sounds sure. like a great topic to me.
Because I have so, nothing else to talk about.
So here's what I'm thinking. Because I'm kind of starting to put together my numbers for the year. And I was looking at book sales and all this sort of stuff. And Scott, I'm sure, can appreciate this because he's on book six, right, of PvP, of the smaller ones, or seven, book seven?
Book eight.
Book eight.
I'm making book nine.
Okay. So you can totally appreciate what I'm about to say, which is that you go long enough at this, and you just start getting so many books, and you don't know what to, like, do I reprint number one? Do I, number three is out of print. I guess I got to reprint that one, but then I still have lower amounts of two, four, and seven. You know, that's
what's happening. Oh, yes.
So, you know, because I'm on book eight plus two standalone collections for thematic stuff. And so anyway, so what I've started thinking is, all right, broadly speaking, we're moving into a digital, an all-digital world, and the iPad is fantastic for reading books on. So we all know that eventually we got to start walking down that road, but what's interesting is if you sort of apply kind of a Moore's Law to internet speed, right?
What's like, Moore's Law again? Is that the one where eventually every subject ends up mentioning Hitler?
Yeah. yes.
So we will have a Hitler app on the iPad in 2 years.
It'll just end every forum post for you. Well, that's a good point about making quiche, Lorraine. But you know what? Hitler would have said the same thing.
That's Hitler. He had the trains running on time. A Sheldon collection.
The last Sheldon collection.
I love how the app is wrong, too. Chris was a CS major. Explain Moore's Law real quick.
Moore's Law is the idea that I don't remember the interval, but everything will double over time. Like processor size will have and have and have and have. And now we have processors the size that we have them. And they'll get faster and exponentially the same way.
Right. And and the price, I think there was a corollary to Moore's, which is the price doesn't exponentially go up even as speed exponentially goes up kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, something to that effect. That basically, computers get faster, but the cost does not go up. God forbid I look this up while we're talking about it. But anyway.
I just did. The number of transistors that can be placed inexpensively on an integrated circuit has doubled approximately every 2 years.
Right. Yeah, and that's been true for a long time.
The trend has continued for more than half a century and is not expected to stop until 2015 or later.
Right, and every time they think they run up against a way that would limit Moore's Law, like IBM Labs comes out and says, wait a minute, we figured out a way using Chromium to laser etch into the, you know, and that sort of thing. But anyway, so what I'm getting at is, if we assume that Moore's Law can sort of be applied to internet speed, which is that, like, we're going to have 3G now, and within a year and a half, 2 years, we'll have 4G, and then, you know, within 5 years, we'll be pretty blazingly fast on our iPhones as we walk around.
Yeah.
Did he just drop out?
And?
Oh,
did
no.
I drop out?
No.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, you must have. We were waiting for more.
Oh, God. All right. Well, where did I end off? I'll finish the point.
I don't know, Dave. I wasn't listening.
No.
You ended on...
No, never mind. All right. The whole point thrown
no,
in the mud.
No. Finish it. God damn it. That got me. I don't know, Dave. I wasn't listening.
I don't know. What do you want from me?
No, you said if internet speeds double every year.
Well, yeah. Or broadly speaking, if they just get faster and faster and faster, we face a problem as we create iPad book apps, which is that our freely offered goods will be competing with our paid goods. Mm-hmm. To a really noticeable extent. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
Because what we're offering now, as when we sell a book collection of webcomics, is in a sense both a convenient package, but it's also an artifact. It's like this, it's this object of art, you know, which is why we don't need to sell on volume. We can sell, you know, smaller amounts on margin because people are buying this smaller object of art, right? And our margins are bigger. But things change in big ways when we move from a print-based book collection to an iPad-based book collection, and internet speed up.
But do you really think that will supplant, like, a physical book? I mean, I know that there's the convenience issue, but I think that people will still want to have the physical collection. I mean, maybe it will be a little harder to justify if somebody spent $2 on the PDF version of a book and then spending $15 on the actual physical version of the book. That might some people might say, well, I already bought it on the iPad. But I don't know if that's going to dig that deep in.
You could very easily give them a code that would be like, look, you bought the book, so you also get the iPad PDF or something. So that's
it's
not
very,
a problem. But I guess
what
I'm saying is, I'll just finish the thought. It's tricky when you start, like Scott's on 8 and I'm on 8, and you start to get all these collections and you realize, well, there's got to be a different path eventually. But I'm not promising. I'm basically saying, yeah, I don't know what the path forward is.
What's interesting is I just took a picture this morning and tweeted it because I was cleaning my office and I have a copy of the Awesomeology next to my desk because it's easier for me to flip through it to find strips than to search for it on my archives.
Right.
And I got from John Glynn, he was kind enough to send me a copy of the Doonesbury 40th anniversary hardcover, which is selected strips from 40 years of comics.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Right? Selected. He went through and picked the most important out of 40 years. And I thought the Awesomeology could kill a man. And it looks like a piker next to the Doonesbury hardcover. Mm. And the thing is, like, at some point, the schedule that you have daily to maintain a readership is not conducive to collections.
Right.
Right? Like, what our output is designed to address a what have you done for me today mentality of our readership, which is not a negative. I mean, I feel the same way. Like, I mean, I've watched the new Abrams Star Trek movie maybe 10 times. I just like putting it in. But, you know, that movie carries no favor with me anymore. I want the next one, you know. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying that's negative, but the output that we have to address that is not conducive to making collections where you collect everything. And there are completists, and we've been building things for the completists. But I think now, and once again, here we are in the territory of everyone listening doesn't have this fucking problem, so they're going to start emailing us. But for the three of you listening that have 13 years worth of comics that you just can't figure out how to collect, I think it might be time for the best of collections. I mean, Dave, you're already doing it with like
the Pugs book and stuff.
The Pugs
book, like
a literature book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how are those doing for you?
Well, the Pugs book is going into its second printing, which, you know, for a webcomics book is pretty good. You know, I take that as a success. So the other one that I did, the thematically grouped one, was on literature. That one is not as fast a seller. So it's doing good, but it's not tearing up the charts like the Pugs book did. But I thought that was an interesting path forward. It's like, all right, I'll try thematic books. And they work. But it's sort of the bigger problem is just having 19,000 books on offer. And is like, it's like, Scott, you nailed it correct, totally perfectly, actually, which is that we have two sort of competing groups that we're shooting for. One is the online audience, which sort of demands, if not daily, pretty dang daily. And then the book audience, which is like, I can't put out a new book every 6 months kind of thing. But sometimes you have to if you're putting out a daily strip, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so, and I this also goes back to my new buzzword for 2011, which is scarcity, which is it okay for you not to have every strip you've ever read in print at all times? You know, is it okay to say, buy book one while you can, because when it's out of print, book two will be available, but book one won't be anymore.
Well, how about that? Like, what about, this is really a strange case, but Chainsaw Suit, the first book, it's almost out of print. I have like literally 15 left. I'm not going to reprint it, and I don't think I will reprint that material because it's not very good. And it's such standalone material that it doesn't, I almost feel like it doesn't need to be collected properly.
Yeah.
It's almost, you know.
What I've decided I'm going to do, because I mean, and then time is another element that we have to think about, because you will make a decision based on where you are in your life at that time when you make a collection, and know that 5 years from now, when you putting your collections together in 5 years, you won't have the same life or mm-hmm. the same considerations, and you're going to want to do your collections differently, and they're not going to match, and you're not going to know what to do.
Right.
Because when I started putting together PvP collections, I was in a mindset of a man a man. I was a man. Alone. A strong man.
Oh, no, that's what I was going
alone
on.
In a world. Yeah.
I was
working for a publisher, and I had retailers to consider. Yeah. So those collections were organized to benefit retailers. And also I was afraid to have all reprinted material in it. And so I tried to fill it with new stuff, those comics. So the first like four collections, the first four PvP books, I don't even want to ever reprint because the material's not that great. It's not in the right order. It's organized kind of bad. And the format's not pleasing. Mm-hmm. So those books at that point, I think, have made all the money they're going to make, and I'm going to let them go. But the fact is that the new books that I'm doing, which so far I've done 6, 7, and 8, in the new format I like, that's pretty much where I'm satisfied at this point with my artwork is with 6. And so now what? Like, if I want to reprint any older material, do I go back and print 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 again? And what do I put in those books?
Yeah. But wait a minute. Isn't that what the Awesomeology is?
The Awesomeology does cover all of it. So
yeah,
I think
Brad,
I'm
but
that's
a big that's a big bite for a consumer to
that's,
take.
That's
you know,
$100. Like, but what I'm saying, Dave, is like if someone says, how do I get the first 8 years of PvP in print form? I can say, well, there's the Awesomeology for the completists.
Oh, I see.
And then there's these – then I have – but I have my favorite strips from that period in this book. So like – I think what I would like to do is go through the Awesomeology and pick out some of my favorite storylines and make a best of PvP book. So you can buy the Awesomeology if you're a completist, right?
Yeah.
If you want every strip. But if you just want the highlights from those years, because people are like, well, you know, what's a good jumping on point? And you say, right here, this is the primer, the PvP primer.
Yeah. I like that idea a lot, and it's actually something that ties in with something that we said earlier, like as in a year ago or so when we were talking about, you know, how webcomics to a great extent is about holding on to your IP and having something to retire on. And the idea was that we've got obviously the rights to all of our stuff, and we can keep repackaging it in a way that we can kind of publish into perpetuity. You know what
I'm glad
I mean?
You said, words, I'm glad you said that word because specifically that word because, talking about how people listening to our podcast, some people might criticize and say you're talking over the heads of a lot of people. We don't have properties that have been around for 13 years, but you know that's who I learned from. Is I talk to people with properties that have been around for a decade or more because I want to understand the end game.
Right.
And right. When I talk to anyone that's been in this business for more than 7 years, they're really doing well. And the two people that come to mind are Terry Moore with Strangers mm-hmm. in Paradise.
Yep.
And my God, what a tiger in a teacup he's got with that property. I mean, you can't skip an issue, right? I mean, it's an investment to read Strangers in Paradise.
Uh-huh.
And he's got, what, like 10 trades now?
Yeah.
And the other guy is Jeff Smith. You know, Jeff Smith's got a 10-year story on his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And right. how do you when you ask them, God, how do you manage that? They say repackage.
Yeah, and that's why, like, you know, at one point, Scott, like 3 or 4 years ago, I don't even remember what Comic-Con it was, you and I started talking about the repackaging of Invincible and all the brilliant ways that gets repackaged. And it got me thinking, actually, the way that I am going to handle, because I actually like your idea of the PvP primer. I think that's a strong idea. But the way I think I'm going to handle the Sheldon books is, like, I'm going to let, say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 go out of print and then combine 1, 2, 3 into, like, an Invincible-type ultimate collection.
Yeah.
Combine 4, 5, 6 into an ultimate collection. And then basically saying, collecting books 1, 2, and 3, but books 1, 2, and 3 no longer will exist kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what Robert does. Yeah. Robert has the individual issues, and then every 6 issue is a trade, and then every 3 trades is a – and he. This is really funny because his naming convention is great. Every trade – every collection of 6 issues is a trade, and every trade is named after an old sitcom. Mm. So it's like it starts with Family Matters. There's Family Matters, 8 is Enough. Every single one of the Invincible trades is named after – crappy sitcom.
That's funny. I never noticed that before.
You're then, right. then he collects three trades into a complete, or no, ultimate.
Ultimate, yeah.
And then he collects three ultimates into a complete.
Wow. But let me ask you this, because what we've talked about so far has been going right back to traditional print publishing, and the way this topic was brought out was how book apps are going to affect what we do.
Oh, right. So here's and I'm so sorry, Brad. I forgot. You know what? I'll let you finish your point. How about that? I'm sorry.
No. That's why I raised it.
So here's why I was getting excited about it, because actually Angry Birds made me think of this whole line of thought, and I don't know why, but I'll get you there. So what I was thinking was you can sell Sheldon Book 4 through iBooks or through Amazon, Reader or all that sort of stuff. But I think a stronger proposition. So since where I was going with Moore's Law idea is that since people will be able to browse our complete and free web archive for almost incredible speeds by what we consider mobile speeds now, in a year or two. It really would compete directly with any sort of packaged, bundled ebook, right? So what I'm thinking is the better path for webcomics to go is actually to make a individual standalone book app where there is a value add in like a mini game or maybe some audio recordings that are also I've always liked how Chris reads Star Slips and stuff like that. But something along those lines where it's more than just what would be a standard ebook through Amazon or the iTunes bookstore. It's like this mini app that is a self-contained, it's got a year's worth of strips, but it's also got a tiny little mini game where you can make Skull fart, or a tiny little mini game where you can make Mismatch throw some flames at this or that. And then it's also got some author commentary. And I actually think that might be the path that we end up going for specialized quote-unquote collections is a standalone app rather than your standard ebook offering in an ebook store along with 10,000 other titles by...
Especially if this stuff gets easier to produce. Because I was watching a thing about a kid's book now that's being voiced by Helena Bonham Carter. And it's an iPad kid's book. And it's interactive.
Oh, yeah,
and it's
that's
really,
right.
really awesome.
And they're like, this is where kids' books should be,
on
the iPad.
And I think that it's true, but I think that right now the barrier to entry is a little tough because who's going to make that? But I think that's going to get easier to do too. But again, that's a return again to what Brad was saying, where now the publisher is going to have power again. Because if you want to make something like that, you have to hire a person to deal with it or go through a publisher who can do it for you.
Right.
But I had an interesting thought this weekend about these ebooks and these iPad comics. And I guess it's the other side of this double-edged sword that I talk about, where collecting is kind of killing comics, where you buy a book and bag it and board it and never look at it again, and why trades are doing so well, because they're books and they're evergreen and you read them again and again and they're easier to sell. And maybe I'll get over it like I got over CDs, but when I buy an album on iTunes, I own it. Like, it's a file I can put on media. I can put it on a CD, I can put it on a hard drive, I can have it on 6 computers. Mm-hmm. And maybe that won't last as long as a CD, but how long was a CD going to last anyway? I can take my music with me. But these comics we're buying on the Comixology app and all of these iPad apps, I don't own them. I'm essentially renting them.
Yeah, you own access to them.
I own access to them. Yeah. There's no file anywhere. I can't put them on a computer. I can't put them anywhere.
Yeah, and if Comixology goes tits up next week, then you're boned, you know?
Yeah, all my comics, all that money I spent is gone. And I caught myself this weekend wanting to catch up a couple things. I wanted to catch up on The Walking Dead. And that's easy for me because I can just call Robert and say, can you send me some trades? If I wanted to read all The Walking Dead, I don't know that I would buy them on Comixology right now, because that's a big investment, and I would rather just go buy the books, because I'll have the books.
Right.
But I almost signed up for Marvel's digital app. I want to research a little more, or their digital comic service, because I was doing a parody of Uncanny X-Men 117 in, that was nerdy the way I just put that. I was doing a parody of an old X-Men comic I read as a kid. And I needed to look at the
specifically
comic.
The spread on page 16 and 17. Sorry, go ahead.
Famous psychic battle between Professor Charles Xavier and the Shadow King. It's dumb that I knew what issue to go looking for, but I'm just that guy. But I didn't want to go buy. I didn't want to go to a comic book shop and find a back issue of 117 so I could look at it.
Well, that's a struggle. I mean, I mean, I'm sure they would have it, but
sure. But it was easy to find it online illegally. I'm not gonna lie. That's how I ended up doing it because I needed it to reference. But I can see the appeal because I got a crash course this weekend in downloading illegal comics. And what it is there's a reader. You have an app on your page on your computer or your iPad that's a reader, and then you download .cbr files, okay? And those CBR files are files on your computer. That's the comic. You can take them with you, and then you can read them in the
reader.
Right,
they're like just somehow packaged TIFFs or something.
Yeah, they're packaged JPEGs, and I know why Comixology doesn't want to do it. I know why the comic industry doesn't want to do it, because people will just pirate and share the comics, but they're already doing that. But that's the weird thing is I realized I was more apt to spend 99 cents on that comic I needed for reference than on the comic I wanted to read, because I want to keep the comic I want to read.
Yeah, there's I had the same thing with what's the title that I was interested in recently? I think it was Super God. It was like a 4-issue. Is it Alan Moore?
Yeah, it's Alan Moore.
But I'm curious about it. I'm curious about the ideas in it. But I was like, I'm not gonna go to a bookstore and have these physical books in my house. I just want to read them. So I would buy that. I looked for it online, and it is not available online. I would have purchased it as a digital download just so that I could read the whole thing and absorb it and then be done.
Yeah.
I don't need the books.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I'm a fan of it enough to enjoy it to that degree, then yeah, I guess I'd go find it after.
But yeah, I'm wondering
that Chris raises the question is would we be selling ebooks for the quick absorption or for the long term, like now I own Starslip Volume 4, you know?
I think when it comes to us, we already have our quick absorption. It's the daily comic. So unless we're going to abandon that for this new digital media, which might happen if that's the way things go.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Chris, it's time for your morning constitutional.
Well, guys, when I hear that chime, I've got about 45 seconds, so...
You've got like a Pavlov thing with your bowels.
We actually have to go, Chris, so... Yeah. As short of a podcast as this is going to be.
Well, I want to pick up on this again next week, though, because this is an interesting topic about.
No, but we're talking about.
I think that what's going to end up happening is that for us, we already have. That's what's different for us is we already have our real quick disposable thing. We do it every day.
Right. Right.
We need to. For us, when people say, "Oh, you want to try some digital things?" I'm like, "Well, we already do the digital thing. So if we do a digital thing like you're doing, we have to come up with something completely new."
Right. Right. But, yeah. So the question
is.
That's
why is, I mean there has to be a value add of some sort.
Exactly. Well, that's what you were talking about.
Mull this over. Okay. If we can't do this one, then what is our digital thing? What's the equivalent of our digital thing?
Let's think about it.
Yeah. Think about it next week.
It might be as you guys were going before, is that maybe the value add is like a 99 cent themed PvP that's every joke that was ever done about pop culture. Like that's the. Value.
Yeah, I think there's value in that.
You mean like digitally?
Like, yeah, like an ebook.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to give a shit. I think the answer for us digitally is got to be something else. How about this? Since we're having to cut this podcast short, and I don't know if you guys can record again this week. I'd be willing to, but what if we each assign ourselves homework? What if our job for the next podcast is to come up with something that webcomic people who already have a digital push can offer that's a unique product digitally.
All right. And you know what? Let's extend that homework out to the audience. If you have, and it's got to be a good idea. Don't email with a weak.
We're just going to delete the shitty ideas. I'm going to be honest with you.
So you can email the ideas to www@halfpixel.com and we will peruse them. Because this is a worthwhile topic for the whole community.
Considering that traditional cartoonists can make a digital product that's unique from their physical product, What can web cartoonists who are already digital do for their digital endeavors that's unique from what they do online?
And they're like, flyers.
Pieces of paper. I feel like Bob Saget. That's, here's your homework, America. Bam, 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 da-da-da-da-da.
Take a picture of your child taking a dump.
And yeah, I was good.
And you could win $10,000.
Chris, your homework, just as a reminder, is to listen to your constitutional wind chime and take care of that.
Oh, that it's ringing loudly in my head. Even as we speak.
It continues to call to my soul. All right, guys, will you go enjoy your Secret Santa and have a good week, and we'll talk again next week or later this week, depending.
All right, guys.
All right, guys.
All right, thanks.